always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Hello and welcome to a rainy Tuesday afternoon here on Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. It's kind of a crappy day out there.
It is. Yeah.
You know what? Just sit by the radio.
You have a...
Hang out with us today.
You have a fall candle that's lit right now in your office. It's 100% fall candle.
Candles don't have...
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. They have a time and they have a season.
Vanilla
is fall.
Universal.
Fall candle. And I walked in the office.
I bought that candle last week.
That doesn't, I'm not saying that people advertise it to be seasonal candles. I'm saying when you go into the office and you have the first whiff, the first thing people would say, it smells like fall.
Okay, here. I'll buy that.
So.
It's like cozy.
It's cozy.
Okay.
I swear there's cinnamon also involved in that candle.
There might be.
But it had my mind tricking. It tricked my mind.
And you thought it was September?
Because of the gloomy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's overcast and the candle. I'm like, wait, what month is it? It's May.
It's May.
But it's gloomy outside.
And I got a drawer full of vanilla.
I love it.
Marshmallow.
Yeah.
Because that's my kind of candle.
It's a great candle.
I don't like...
Flower?
Citrusy or flowery, yeah.
I'm not citrus, yeah. But that's like a summer candle.
I know, but I like vanilla year-round.
I don't blame you. Mm-hmm. It's a good candle.
I wonder what Crane Durham thinks about this. We're going to talk to Crane Durham from nothingbuttruth.com in a few minutes. Going to get his thoughts on many things. One being the Trump vice president is big in the news again. The conversation around who's going to be Trump's vice president. I want you to think about, you're the only person here that I haven't asked this question yet. I went around to the whole building today asking News Talk STL staff members if they had to bet right now, today, on... who will be Donald Trump's vice president? Who would it be? Not who you want it to be. If you had to make a prediction and your life savings was on the line, so you had to like make your best guess at who Donald Trump is going to take, who would it be? And I have all the answers. I have my answer. I have Mike Ferguson and Stell and Vic and Ken. So I want to get your thought. I want to get Crane's thought. So I want to have that conversation. And the reason we want to have that conversation is because today, before Trump went into the courtroom, it was like VP on parade.
Mm-hmm.
Speaker Mike Johnson was there. Byron Donalds was there. Corey Mills was there, another congressman from Florida. Vivek Ramaswamy was there, and the news is like the top headline, top story on Fox News this morning, you know, was VP sweepstakes on display in New York court today. So I thought this will be a fun conversation for everybody today to think about who you think. So don't tell me now. We're going to ask Crane, and I'll ask you one at the same time. But it certainly was interesting to see what looked like vice president audition speeches in front of the courtroom today. We were in a meeting this morning when it was happening live, and we were looking at the television, and we're like, oh, look, there's Byron Donalds. Oh, look, there's Vivek Ramaswamy.
What's he doing there?
Yeah, like, and I don't know. We were in a meeting, so we weren't listening to it live. I went back and listened to a lot of the clips from what happened this morning, but... I didn't keep a timer on it, but it certainly looked like Vivek spoke the longest. Like he
had some time.
He took advantage of his time, of the fact that he had the media's attention.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to take advantage of it. And Donald Trump beforehand had put them all over. He So, but on his way into court, he spoke, you know, he speaks in like the parking garage or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like immediately afterward, he just comes
and
out.
He will, and that's where he speaks on his way in, too.
Yes.
So it's like echoey. But apparently, Donald Trump is the only one that's allowed to speak in there, in that room
That.
That's why everybody else was outside during their thing. Apparently, and he, because Trump addressed it today, he said, I'm the only one allowed to speak in here. In fact, he made it like about repression of speech. He said, they're trying to make it as hard as possible for these other guys to speak. They only let me speak in here. So they're going to go outside and talk to you. And he was talking about Mike Johnson and Byron Donalds and Corey Mills and Vivek Ramaswamy. So he went out of his way to like mention each one of them by name and say something good about each one of them. So it was like Donald Trump put them all on a tee and then let them just all go outside and talk. And it really did feel like we were watching like American Idol for vice president. Like Trump just like he introduced each one of them and like, here's why he's great. Now go show him. Now go prove it.
Go tell him.
And Vivek really
sold it.
Looked like he was happy to take advantage of that opportunity.
Vivek gives everybody the ick, but I like him, and I've liked him from the get go.
I don't think he gives everybody the ick, but I think he either gives you the ick or you like him.
I like him.
There's no middle ground with Vivek, and I'm on the ick side. I don't really like him.
I
know a lot of people do.
I do. I just think there's definitely pros and cons of him. But what's interesting, and again, we were in that meeting, so we only got to really see the optics of it all.
Right.
Why do I need to care? No offense to those gentlemen. Why do I care what they have to say if they're not in the courtroom? You know, like, I understand.
That's what I mean. They all just seem to be there to talk about what a great guy Donald Trump was.
And, you know, I understand that Trump is taken off the campaign trail right now. So he has to have an army, for lack of a better term, to speak on his behalf, to promote the campaign, to talk about this being a sham. Those are all understandable things of why Vivek and Byron and others were out there speaking on behalf of Trump. But whatever they have to say is not what they see in the courtroom. It's proximity to the courtroom. It's like, I'm standing outside reporting to you about what could or could not be going on inside the courtroom. Well, then I don't care. So that's, yes, it probably was more of an audition for VP, but the reason why they're there to talk about what a sham all of this is, it's like, well, yeah, we know, but you're not a lawyer. You're not part of his legal team. So I would rather listen to Will Scharf than Vivek Ramaswamy.
Right. Well, and especially Vivek Ramaswamy, because at least Mike Johnson, Corey Mills, and Byron Donaldson are all in the House of Representatives and have some power to make laws. And so they could, you know, there's been all kinds of proposed legislation about, like, making these sham trials, you know, making it harder for these sham trials. So at least you could say, at least you could make, you could connect the dots. I'm not saying this is why they were there, but I'm just saying you could make this case that the other three were there because they are active lawmakers in the United States and could be looking at this trial as a way to use it as an example of why law needs to be passed and, you know, some bill be proposed. But Vivek Ramaswamy he's nothing in government. He's like, they all went up, like, you know, Speaker Mike Johnson goes up and he's talking and it says, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, totally. Republican, Louisiana, you know, and Byron Donaldson's is, you know, Congress. And Vivek goes up and it's Vivek Ramaswamy, businessman.
Yeah. Former presidential candidate.
Former presidential candidate.
It's like,
exactly.
And, you know,
so he doesn't have, he has no, like you said, like a Will Scharf or somebody, you know, who's an attorney for Trump. You know, they've got some kind of official, they could be, you know, even the congressman could make a reason for being there in some official capacity. Vivek is just there
because he loves Trump.
Because he loves Trump, and Trump loves him, apparently.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't want to give away too much about what I think of who is going to be what, because I don't want to sway anybody's picks. But it definitely seemed like a vice presidential audition for several folks.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like a Corey Mills, who's just now getting some national attention because he's the one that filed that impeachment case against. Yeah. We talked about it, I guess, last week. I was going to say earlier this week, but it's Tuesday. So I don't think it was earlier this week. I think it was last week. The impeachment about for Joe Biden. So he's kind of just getting into, he's just kind of getting into the national lexicon and, you know, establishing his national identity. So I could, you know, for him, it's a, you know, a big moment to try to capitalize. I think Byron Donaldson already has some of that fame and name recognition. Obviously Johnson does too. And Vivek does too, but Vivek, you know, has an opportunity to stand there and speak. So, interesting. And I also have a article that was printed last week by NBC News. And I know that, including myself, that makes everybody go, oh, you know, because it's NBC's news is so blatantly one-sided. But they actually just made a list. It's like 20 people long, too, of all the possible vice president candidates. And in the article, it makes the argument for and the argument against, and it's actually really legitimate. Like, it's a legitimate list of real people and gives them benefit, and like, the argument for them being vice president, the argument against, is actually pretty good. So I want to weigh all of our own picks against the NBC News list as well. So we'll get all to all that and more when we talk to Crane Durham from NothingButTruth.com here in just about 5 minutes from now. Before that, you were just telling me, speaking of vice presidents, what did Kamala Harris say today? She's dropping F-bombs?
Oh, yeah. She dropped a big F-bomb.
Whoa, where was this?
So she was at a forum, and the context around what happened, you know, what provoked this answer from Kamala, I don't necessarily know that part. Right. All I saw was the 45-second clip of her speaking at a forum. She was asked a question, and her response to the question was, sometimes people want to shut the door on you. Sometimes, you know, they block the door, probably referring to success, and you have to kick the effing door down.
Ooh.
And she dropped the F-bomb. And when she dropped the F-bomb, everybody go.
Let's go. Yes, queen.
Yes, 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 Kamala.
Ooh, that girl, she talks just like we do. And that's why we like her.
You know, giggled and laughed as she normally does, and then says, you know, sorry for the language. What, you know,
I hate that. I hate that.
Sorry for the language.
I hate when people use, like,
you knew
strategically
what you were doing.
Cuss. Look, I cuss way more than I should. I'm being serious about this. Like, I have been embarrassed by myself many times in public because I so freely cuss that I realize sometimes that I am in company that I probably shouldn't be doing that in, and then I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. I shouldn't have done that. So I am the last person on earth that should tell somebody that they can't cuss. It's kind of ironic that I speak for 2 hours every day,
and we don't.
And
yeah,
have been on the air every day for 26 years and can't cuss. and so anybody that just has only heard me on the air, it may be weird for them to hear me cuss, but anybody that knows me off the air knows that it's it's kind of ridiculous. My wife is the same way, by the way. We just have potty mouths. But so I'm the last person that should ever be critical of somebody cussing. But when somebody's strategically cussing, it's like she did that like that was a plan.
Oh my gosh, it was a complete plan.
I planned to drop the F-bomb to make an impact.
Excuse my language.
And look cool and edgy and appeal to, you know, the younger, you know, people, and, you know, use a little bit of slang. Like, there's nothing worse than strategized cussing.
And this is coming from people that were like, rise above it. Don't be like Donald Trump at all of his rallies is cussing. I mean, the first time was like, whoa, Trump is cussing. That was in 2015. Now Trump is cussing hard. I don't think he's ever said the F-bomb. Maybe he has, and someone can check me on that for sure. But he
Joe
cusses.
Has.
Yeah.
It's a big effing deal.
But these are two people. This is an administration that prided themselves on not behaving like Donald Trump, even down to the language. And now we have the vice president going on the forum in Washington, D.C., dropping an F-bomb and thinking it's cutesy time. I'm like, weren't you all very critical and saying it was not presidential and it wasn't like befitting of the office for Trump to be using that kind of language during rallies?
Yeah.
And now here we are.
It's a great point. You're exactly right. Yeah. That's why I wanted to ask you about it, because I just knew it was, she's in the news for saying the F-bomb, but it was very, very planned.
Yes, it was.
Very scripted. You know, that's the other thing. I called it strategized cussing. When you, scripted normalcy, when you have to, think about it, how would a normal person talk? Like, when you're so removed from normal people in the United States, when you're so above it all, when you're so privileged and elite and condescending your whole life, like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and so many, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, so many of these leaders in the Democrat Party are, and there's plenty of them in the Republican Party too, don't get me wrong. But when they just, when they're so, their whole life, they're just so much better than you.
Yeah.
That when they have to, when you can tell that they're clearly like somebody wrote a script on how to talk like a normal person.
Yes.
It's just so fake and it's so gross. Like, oh, this will make me sound like, this will make me connect with young normal people.
That's their whole administration.
Yeah. If somebody's got to write that for you, if somebody's got to write how to speak in a natural way, you're not somebody that is fit to represent us.
Well,
because
nobody,
you cannot relate to us.
Nobody wants people that are not authentic anymore. Right. Biden could get away with it with the aviators. Biden could get away with it with the ice cream. But then Trump came along and showed us someone off the cuff really acts like.
Yeah. And for all of Trump's issues, and there are plenty, being inauthentic is not one of them. He is an authentic person, for sure. For all the good and all the bad that comes along with it. But I think that's why he connects. And that's exactly why Kamala Harris and Joe Biden do not connect, because they are not authentic. They don't even know who them. They don't even know who they are. Joe Biden couldn't. He couldn't tell you what his honest opinion on something is. Well, one, he can't think anymore. But even before he lost his mind, he couldn't tell you what his own honest opinion on something was, because he's got to put it through a million political filters. And, well, what group am I talking in front of? Who's this person asking me the question, interviewing me? All of those factors go into whatever his answer is going to be. He doesn't even know what his own natural answer would be anymore. Mm-mm. And Kamala Harris the same way. You know who's not like that? You know who's a man of the people? Crane Durham. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's why I love him. He's got a big heart. He's a man of the people. We're going to talk to him about vice presidents for Donald Trump and many more things when he joins us next on Columbo and Katie. Still time and time again, there's
other fish in the sea. For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
You know what? I will do it. I will do it right now. We were just talking at the break there. We had some people commenting on that first segment. A lot of people talking, which I love. And I love reading the comments and incorporating them into the show. So if you're watching on the cameras on our YouTube channel, Columbo and Katie on YouTube, on Facebook, the News Talk STL Facebook page, the News Talk STL Twitter page, the News Talk STL Rumble page. I know it's called X. I'm not calling it X. It's Twitter. And somebody said that we always say, and this is a person who comments all the time, and so, which again, I really appreciate and thank you for listening. You know, said that you guys always qualify when you talk about Trump and say Trump does have plenty of negatives. Well, what are they? Well, we've been over them and we can go over them again. He cannot ever admit to a mistake. I think that's a problem, especially for a politician. Everything's perfect. He's done everything perfectly. We were laughing the other day when Ken Williams was in here and he was like, remember the phone call? The perfect phone call.
Perfect phone call.
Like, he had really damaging turnover during his presidency that I think lost him a lot of credibility. He's definitely, I think, what connects him to a lot of people. This is why I said it goes both ways with Donald Trump, and why the, you know, good or bad, him being authentic is what connects people, because sometimes he's too much for people, especially when he was president. He was on Twitter, and some of the attacks he would make and the name calling he would make. Some people love it. Some people hate it. But to act like people don't hate it is just, I would be being inauthentic.
Yeah.
There are plenty of problems that people have with Donald Trump.
And a lot of them are due to personality.
And it's, yeah, and it's all of those things. The name calling, some people love it, some people don't love it. The inability to ever admit that even when he misspeaks, he'll say, oh, I meant to do that. Like yesterday when you said barometers instead of parameters and we were laughing about it. Like, it would be like if you were like, no, I meant to say barameters. I was making up a new fun word.
It's like,
no, you just misspoke.
Yeah.
Like,
give it a rest.
Yeah. Like, that's not great. And I mean, he's not perfect. None of us are.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the issues. And I think they've been well documented on this show and others. But if you need me to, from now on, I'll try to, anytime I mention the good and bad, I'll try to make sure that I give examples of each. All right, it is time to bring in, you know what, if there is one perfect person, if there is one person that I cannot find fault with, it is the great Crane Durham from nothingbuttruth.com. And Crane, as always, on a Tuesday, even when it's raining outside, brothers don't shake hands, brothers got a hug.
And as we hug, I embrace you, squeeze your shoulder, recognize you've been at the gym lately, and then look up and I point up. Because I'm just a disciple in progress.
Yes,
far from progress. Far from perfect.
Yes, yes. And you know what? One of the things that I love about you is that we definitely don't agree on everything politically, but we have a respectful conversation and debate about these things. So, and I think that is one of the things that Donald Trump lacks in at times. So I don't know if you heard that.
I did hear
preamble.
And I would say he frames issues. There are so many ways that he frames issues, and I don't think he does a very good job of it and makes poor arguments for for something that would be a good case in the sense of a public.
Yeah, like the debates, the 2020, or was it the 16 debate? It was the Biden debate. So it was the 2020 debates. I was so frustrated with Donald Trump because Joe Biden is such a buffoon in those debates. His answers were terrible and he was making a fool of himself, but Donald Trump wouldn't let him finish. I was screaming at the television going, let the man finish, because he is hanging himself. Like he just looks ridiculous. He's saying stupid things right now and you keep cutting him off. You keep saving him. And those are, those are my issues. I don't mean to pile on. I think Donald Trump's 100 times better president than Joe Biden is 1,000 times over. But you ask me to list those issues. I mean, that's what they are. All right. Yeah. So, Crane, I don't know if you heard us talking earlier. It seemed like going into court this morning, this was actually the top story on Fox News' website today, that it seemed like it was the Veep Stakes was happening live in New York there today before court with Speaker Mike Johnson, Byron Donalds, Corey Mills, Vivek Ramaswamy, all being introduced by President Trump and all having a chance to speak before court today. And, people are saying, are these, was this, kind of an audition for vice president? And so this conversation was started in the office here. And I walked around the office today and I asked everybody that was here, if you had to bet everything, if you had to bet your life savings. Now, so this isn't necessarily who you want it to be. It's who you think Donald Trump is going to pick. And I know that'll change in a week. It'll change again in a month. It'll change 15 times between now and November. But right now, if you had to make that prediction with, your life savings on the line, Who do you think you would? Who do you think you would pick, Crane?
I would pick.
I hope nobody
takes Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
And for my backup, I have a backup.
Okay.
Doug Burgum.
I didn't say backups were allowed, but okay.
Okay. Yeah. Because I've
been, you're betting it all, baby. You gotta go. It's all on one. Those are good ones, though. Those
Huckabee
are good
Sanders. Ones. Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
All right, Katie, you got yours?
I do.
Who is it?
I don't think any of these people.
Okay.
I don't think Trump.
If there's one person that's going to steal my thunder, it's going to be you. What are you going to say?
I don't think it's any of those people.
Okay.
I don't think yep. we. I don't.
Doesn't
think,
have none. Of, everybody else's pick wasn't one of those people either. So you're.
But my pick is it's not going to be someone that we know. I don't think it's going to be someone that's been in the spotlight yet.
Okay, good.
Just like...
Because my person has been.
I don't think it's going to be anyone that is in the spotlight.
So you don't have a name right now? Or are you...
I don't have a name.
Okay, good. Because I thought if there was one person who was going to steal my name, it'd be you.
I don't have a name.
So, Mike, it's interesting, too. It's interesting how... Because, like, I was afraid that you would think what I thought. Because
mm-hmm.
Mike and Stell picked the same person. Gabe was already gone, so I didn't get a chance to talk to Gabe Pfeiffer.
Mm-hmm.
But... Stell and Mike from the morning show picked the same person. Vic and Ken, probably less of a surprise to people, picked the same person. So Mike and Stell both said J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I can see that only because Ohio is going to be a big deal and trying to carry that state. Okay, I get it.
Yes, strategy.
Vic and Ken both said Byron Donalds.
Okay.
Jeff Allen, Crane Durham, listen to this. Jeff Allen... thinks that at the end of the day, it's the power ticket of Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump.
Oh, wow.
I don't... Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that being... I just don't know that that's realistic. My pick is Elise Stefanik.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a woman, and I think it's going to be a woman that has... like. I think Kristi Noem was in that race until she shot her dog. So that was out. So I think it's going to be like a level-headed. Well, remember, you know what I'm talking about, right, Crane? I'm not making that up.
Oh, yeah.
She put her book and she shot her dog, which I didn't think was that big of a deal. A farm dog 20 years ago that was biting people and killing livestock and they had to put the dog down. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but I understand why everybody else is. The headline is Kristi Noem killed her puppy or whatever it is. But I think that that was enough, honestly, you know, in today's day and age to like, you know, she's got the dog killing stink on her now. I think a level headed woman is going to be the compliment to Donald Trump. And so I think Elise Stefanik fits that bill. So that's my pick.
Did she get into some kind of controversy is the wrong word, but didn't she get into something like a year ago where there was a little bit of stink? I mean, I guess it doesn't even matter because I can't remember what the stink was.
The only thing that I remember her being in the news for was during like various hearings with like about the Supreme Court and about like the Ivy League situation and her being really at the center of that controversy.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good pick.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I Crane, I think it's right alongside of your Sarah Huckabee Sanders because I think that Sarah Huckabee would be a perfect person for Donald Trump. I just feel like she's more into her role as governor right now. Not that she wouldn't say yes, but I think that she's leaning more into what she's doing in Arkansas right now than wanting to get back into Washington, D.C. So that's one of the only reasons that I wouldn't have picked her because I would put her right next to Elise Stefanik as like what I would think would be the perfect compliment for Donald Trump. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying with Stefanik, and I just go through just a few little things here. I think J.D. Vance just is too hungry for the position and Trump does not want that.
Yeah.
He's looking to shore up a voting block and suburban moms. That's what we're talking about. And that's why a woman, I think, would work. I think Doug Berg would work, but I'm not going to speak to that.
I get that pick. And you know what? I do want to expand the conversation a little bit because Elise Stefanik would not be my favorite. My favorite, I've said it many times, Tim Scott. I'm a mark for Tim Scott. I like Tim Scott a lot. I think he brings balance to the force and is just, you know, is a great man. And so I'd like to see him in that position. But I think he's still in the discussion. But I just feel like his, he has sort of the momentum of him being vice president has dropped.
But
recently.
Why Doug Crane? Why that pick?
Yeah.
Well, he's very conservative. He has a conservative record, and he has a record. So, and he's also, he doesn't need to do it. He's wealthy beyond means, and Trump said he likes, they get along.
Yeah.
And so, very important. Those things.
I think Burgum was there today too at court. He didn't speak, but I think he was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I got to see what oftentimes, you know, what Biden did was, you think I'm bad, look at Kamala, okay? Because it's, you know, it's not a step up. She's totally incompetent. I may be senile, but you got to go with me. So these are things I think the president thinks about. I think Donald Trump thinks about that, and I think he knew Pence would shore up the evangelical vote, and he did. And when it comes to this election, he needs people to say, you know what, Trump can get wacky, but there's somebody there that I know has their hand on the wheel, so to speak.
Yep, I understand that, and that's kind of the reason that I think that somebody like Elise Stefanik or Sarah Huckabee Sanders or Tim Scott, even more than maybe any of them, could be that exactly what you just described as kind of that that calming influence. But Doug Burgum is just boring and unpopular.
Yeah.
Like, he's just and he doesn't look. I mean, I know this is terrible to say it like this, but it's just I mean, the presidential election is a popularity contest. It's a high school popularity contest. And he just looks like a boring old white guy that's been in boring old rich white guy that's been in politics forever. And I just don't think that that is going to be something that rallies people. I think Doug Burgum, for sure, is in the cabinet. I think he's a big part of the Trump administration. But I don't think he's going to be vice president.
I do like what you just said, Crane, though, about the evangelical spot, Mike Pence owning that, and Trump looking for the person that's going to speak to the suburban white woman. What? I'm thinking through this now, and that's kind of, Crane, that's why I don't have a pick. Because I just, everything goes back to Mike Pence, who I did not see coming at all.
Yeah.
And then
it's not going to be him.
Yeah, exactly. Not going to be Mike Pence.
It's not going to be Mike Pence.
But we know for sure.
That one we can say.
But Crane, is there any chance of Trump? Is there any chance of Trump actually promoting an underdog?
I think with Burgum, again,
an underdog, I think. Yeah, if he did go with Burgum.
Secretary of Energy, possibly, because he knows it. He knows. And he relates on business level with Donald Trump. So he relates on that level. You have Huckabee Sanders, and her loyalty is unquestionable.
Yeah.
So that's something very important. And you do want something where the next person stepping in is going to be the Republican nominee in 2028. And so this is pretty big, or the favorite for 2028.
Yeah.
So this, but you don't want on the job training, so to speak. You want somebody who has accomplished things and has a record of accomplishment and governing that could go against Sarah Huckabee Sanders just because of the first term, if I'm not mistaken. But that idea is really on people's minds, because I think there is this thing about, you know what, I don't know what the government's doing, and I don't want friendly fire or fire directed in any way. I just want them to go back and do what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. That is Craig Durham from nothingbuttruth.com. He is going to stick around. We will wrap up this conversation and get into some other issues. Jen Psaki not being left off the hook. After that story we did yesterday about her having to change her book, people aren't letting her off the hook, and I am here for it. Like, I am glad that she is being held to account for her lies in her book, more than just having to, in her words, change a couple sentences. So, I'll get you the latest on that issue. Also, San Francisco is under fire for... Remember when we were giving drugs to drug addicts in different cities?
Oh, yeah.
Now we're giving alcohol to homeless alcoholics.
Yeah, we said it'd be fine.
In San Francisco. So I want to get everybody's thoughts on that program and if it's safe and smart as well. So the safe and smart thing to do is to stay here and continue the conversation with Crane Durham. And that's what we'll do next on Columbo and Katie.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Continuing the conversation with Crane Durham from nothingbuttruth.com. Before we move off of the, and what's unbelievable, it was just on television.
Yes.
They were just saying, court today looked like the Trump Veep Steaks in person. Like, they're listening. Mm-hmm. They're listening. They know. So before we move off this, I wanted to, I'm not going to go through every one of them because there's like 20 people on this list. NBC News put out this list of possible VPs. Like I said, they list like the argument for and the argument against, and all the names that we've talked about are on there. Doug Burgum is on there. Vivek Ramaswamy, Tim Scott, Elise Stefanik, J.D. Vance, all the folks that we've been discussing are on there. Byron Donalds is a good one. Here's my prediction about that. The reason I didn't put Byron Donalds on my list, Crane, was because I think if everything goes his way, if Trump wins the presidency and he wins the House and he wins the Senate, I think in a perfect world for Donald Trump, Byron Donalds isn't the vice president. Byron Donalds is the Speaker of the House during a Trump presidency. That's what I think would be like the Republicans, especially the Republican Party under Donald Trump, would be their like ultimate master plan. I could see that's one of the reasons of keeping Byron Donaldson out of the White House or out of the cabinet and having him ascend to Speaker of the House. Could you see that happening?
I could, but I think he likes Mike Johnson too much. And I think Johnson, obviously, another person that could be a total wild card out of there as vice president.
Yeah.
Because what I've seen Johnson do as speaker is take on his own party with the Nutters and then moved and accomplished something while pleasing Trump.
Yeah,
that's very true.
And he's been in court. He's been there in New York standing next to Donald Trump at these press conferences. So he's definitely
and
showing
at the
support.
Protests and at the riots. Pardon me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. I could just still see the grand plan being, though, maybe not in a negative way either, of Mike Johnson not being speaker anymore. Maybe there's a mutual benefit. Maybe Mike Johnson moves into the cabinet.
I could see it happening, certainly, your scenario, no doubt.
Yeah, that's the reason that I didn't pick, that's the reason that Byron Donalds wasn't on my list, because I do think he's got a bright future, and I think he's going to do, I think he's going to go places. So all those names are on there. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is on the list, but I wanted to bat around a couple of the more unique names on the list really quick. For example, Tucker Carlson. And again, this is a serious story. So they literally make the argument for and the argument against. So I don't want to, as bad as NBC News is, I don't think that there's any, that whoever did this did it down the middle, did it legitimately. So I don't think any of these names are with an eye roll. I think they are legitimate, whether they be outsiders or not. Again, there's like 20 people on this list. So there's obviously going to be like some that are, you know, favorites in the pocket, and there's going to be some of these outside, you know, names. Tucker Carlson. Could you ever envision a world where Tucker Carlson, not even necessarily vice president, but crosses over into being working in politics instead of covering politics?
I could, because things are the way they are and people want outsiders, and he has certainly done a fair share of criticism. I disagree with him. That's not the point on a lot of issues, but the point is he has certainly made the case night after night of what he thinks is wrong and given solutions. Maybe they're not my solutions, but there are solutions. So, yeah, and I also think there's an ego here. And just like anybody else, I was wondering why Cruz and Rubio stayed in so long.
Right.
I was like, well,
Marco Rubio's on this list, really, by the way. Marco Rubio's on this list, too.
Yeah. Ted Cruz not on the list. But
no, not on the VP list, though.
can't walk back. Dad, the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, taking shots at each other's wives. No, that one's not coming back. But yeah, but Tucker Carlson, part of the reason that Tucker Carlson is looked at as legitimate is because one of the kids, I think it was Donald Trump Jr. It was either Donald Trump Jr. or Eric Trump. I think it was Donald Trump Jr. said in an interview recently that was asked about Tucker Carlson and said that that was a ongoing conversation with Tucker Carlson. And that was on the table, I think, was what his words were. So
I have to give a big eye roll to that, not because it's not I think NBC, right? That's who you said wrote this poll.
Yeah, who listed all these vice president candidates. Yeah, or possible.
To me, I feel like they might be serious about this, but there's still so much fear mongering behind saying Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, if Eric Trump Jr. said that that they're having a conversation with him about being his dad's vice president.
Tucker Carlson.
That's good enough for a legitimate report, I think.
Also, Tucker Carlson is notorious in his private life for literally not owning a TV. For not owning a TV. For not. He doesn't have the internet. If you watch that Joe Rogan interview, he doesn't do email.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, we're going to make the guy who's a hermit crab with his family have an email address?
Yeah.
Well, they have Putin love.
It's a great point.
They have Russia love.
Yeah, they do.
Common, so that could be a bonding point.
I mean, Crane, you're going to get us all killed.
How I feel about Putin and
right.
So,
one more weird name on this list: Tulsi Gabbard. And again, I think the whole fascination with RFK Jr. and with Tulsi Gabbard, I think that Tulsi Gabbard is a great person. I listened to her interview. I'd love to talk to her. I think that she's got some really good ideas. She's also a Democrat at heart, just like RFK Jr. Like the people that are like, oh, RFK Jr. could be like the conservatives' alternative to Trump. No, he is pro-choice to the moment of birth. RFK Jr. is not the conservative alternative to Trump. I get that he's... Look, he's got a lot of libertarian beliefs that I connect with big time, but let's not make these people into things that they are not. Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. are Democrats at the end of the day, just like Joe Manchin.
What a great point, Tony. What a great point on that, because people seem to forget certain things. Mm-hmm. And I understand there's only so much bandwidth, but RFK wanted to lock up climate deniers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that would include me under that definition.
Yeah,
and I can't go to jail.
No, you can't. No,
not with that face.
You're not built for it.
No, my dance card is full.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, buddy. Yes, it is. I completely agree, and I get why people connect with Tulsi Gabbard, and I get why they connect with RFK Jr., and I get why they connect with Joe Manchin, because they're not insane Democrats. But they're still Democrats, and they're still going to... you got a way better chance with me as a libertarian connecting with one, accepting one of them as like a legitimate candidate than I think true conservative Republican voters when they realize exactly who that person is.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that that's legit. Real quick, Crane, I want to get your thoughts on this. San Francisco under fire for a program giving booze to homeless alcoholics. A $5 million pilot program has been put into place in San Francisco, bringing free beer, wine, and vodka shots to San Francisco's homeless alcoholics. And they say this will keep people from going into withdrawals and keep them out of the emergency room. I think this is absolutely stupid. As an addict to what? Not an alcoholic, but an addict to opioids. Right. This is a, not only is it not going to make anybody defeat their addiction, it's only going to make things worse. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's going to enable it. It sounds like one of those conversations, if we were all sitting around and we had some Chardonnay and maybe some Jack Daniels with a little Sprite in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we we'd say, hey, this is a really good idea. So that's what that idea comes out.
Right, right. Jack. Yeah, and then we all wake up the next morning and go like, can you believe we talked about giving alcohol to homeless alcoholics? Like, yeah, but that's how misguided and stupid they are in California. This is why anybody that would ever give credence to, like, or try to say something positive about somebody like Nancy Pelosi or talk about somebody like Gavin Newsom being president,
this is
life in California.
Yeah,
this is how nutty
they destroyed a city.
Yeah, and how destructive is a perfect word, Katie, destructive they are to human life in that state. They should all be banned from national office, in my opinion, because they have destroyed the state of California with terrible ideas like this. And we don't need that being brought. We've got enough of our own problems across this country. We don't need all of California's. Crane, before we let you go, remind folks about the podcast, the website, the Facebook page, all the ways that people can keep up with everything that you do all week long.
If you're looking for some analysis when it comes to the mainstream media and the way they are carrying water for this administration, and if bad policies were this administration being banned, Biden would have been banned and Kamala would have been banned and many of the Democratic Party would be banned for bad policy. I break it down, tell you where it is, and I also continue to make the case, stand with Israel, stand with the Ukraine.
Crane, you will never be banned from the Columbo and Katie show. We really appreciate your time, as always, my friend. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. Appreciate you all.
Yeah, I got you. That is Crane Durham. And again, Crane Durham at nothingbuttruth.com and the Nothing But Truth Facebook page, where you can also find his podcast. So check it all out. All right, keep it here. We talked yesterday about the story about Jen Psaki having to change her book. Gold Star parents across the country not letting her off the hook, and I am here for it. We'll tell you the latest in that story next on Columbo Case. In the sneakers.